As was mentioned earlier, we have the privilege and opportunity to baptize three folks this morning, and we have put these guys through the interview process and shined a hot light on them and made them sweat, just kidding. All three of them have written up their testimonies. And what we'll do is we'll have them each read their testimony. I'm going to read Eliana's testimony this morning, not because she can't read, but she asked me to. And then we'll have Eliana, and then Kevin will go. He'll be batting second, and then Devin will bat third. And come up, read your testimony, and then... and then come into the water and we'll do the baptism. This is Eliana's testimony. My whole life I grew up in a Christian home, and I understand that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But it wasn't until the past year that I really understood how much that meant. Death has been a constant thought these past few years. My cat died last fall, and there has been a few times that my family thought that my great-grandma was going to be gone pretty soon. It was probably these moments that provoked my mind to think about the harsh reality that without the work of Jesus dying on the cross, I am a sinner destined for hell. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment." The more I thought about it, the more I realized that there was no way that the Bible was not true, and therefore I realized that I needed to put my trust in Jesus. The Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into the judgment, but has passed out of death and into life. It is because of this that I want to follow him and be baptized." So, if you don't know, Eliana is Josh and Amy's older daughter, and so it'll be the joy of baptizing here. So, Eliana, you can be careful not to trip and do a pre-baptism. Eliana, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our belief that you are united to him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kevin Mick is going to come up and give his testimony.
I didn't grow up in the church. I actually grew up in the streets, and like drugs and alcohol were normal to me. I spent most of my life thinking I was an atheist, and I even believed I was a good person despite all my mess. For years, I was what people would call a functional alcoholic. My life was pretty much go to work, come home, get smashed, and repeat. It never occurred to me how selfish my addiction was. I worked hard, so I earned it, and it never a care of how it affected others, let alone my actions, how my actions offended God. It was a vicious cycle of alcohol abuse and trying to make myself feel like a good person by doing nice things for others, like cooking or buying them gifts. It only got worse as I started showing up to work still drunk from the night before until finally I got fired and lost everything. I ended up at the rescue mission. There I heard a man named Doc Finnegan speak. He didn't really preach as much as he talked about life and how the Bible is a manual. After he finished, I knew I needed to be saved. I went up to him and told him I wanted to be saved, and I prayed about it. The next day, I joined the Discipleship Academy. There, many good pastors, including Pastor Matt, taught me the gospel. I learned I wasn't a good person. None are righteous, no, not one. There is none that do good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I learned the importance of being born again. Since I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I see things so differently. On November 3rd, I will be 1 year sober. I can honestly say I have no desire to drink anymore. I don't even think about it. I don't think about myself like I used to. I try to help others, and I pray every day that I glorify God in all that I do. I try to spread the gospel. I work at the rescue mission now, and I get to do the Lord's work, and what a blessing that is. I fall short every day, but by the grace of God, I may not be who I ought to be, but I'm not who I used to be. Doc would tell us that Jesus will give you a new wonder. He was right. What I want most is for my life to glorify God.
Always a joy to have Kevin in class, and now it's even more of a joy to have him as a member of Sovereign Grace Chapel and to be able to baptize him. We're so thankful for the Lord's work in your life, Kevin. And out of kindness to you, I'm going to ask you to plug your nose. Kevin, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So I've already cried four times, and now I don't know why I'm the third, because that's hard. So bear with me. Hi, I'm Devin, your new sister in Christ. We're family now. To think that this would ever be a reality, a family that loves and accepts where I've been, and who I am, that cares about my walk with Christ, still blows my mind. I've never felt part of a family growing up with very little guidance and not much church. My parents were both addicts, and they were divorced by the time I was four. My sister was two. We lived with my aunt in the projects, and then we lived with my mom's boyfriend, who moved in, and we lived with him for 11 years. All the things that come with, and then all the things that come with living with, you know, alcohol and drugs. A couple aunts took us to church here and there, you know, trying to do their part in the kids of those parents. Believe it or not, though, I remember most visits to Sunday school and what I learned and the peace that I felt. Junior high, we had a few youth group nights, and that was the extent of church in our lives. Between all the moves, we went to like 10 schools and lived in 3 states. Although very young, I do remember being told about Jesus. And I remember how upset my mom was when I ran home to tell her. And I was never allowed to go back to those neighbors' house again. I knew things were wrong growing up, which put a wedge between my mom and her boyfriend and I, and my sister for that matter. But I migrated towards rules and teachers and friends who had family structure, which deemed me to be stuck up and labeled as, you know, snobby or smarty pants. But I became a very emotional child. But I was smart and I was outgoing, which caused resentment. I was trying to be more than I saw. I was hard on myself, but I worked very hard. And that all sounds very good, right? But everyone would commend me on you beat the odds and persevering and the ability to thrive in bad circumstances. And the world will build you up and pat you on your back for those things. But really, I grew up with a goal to not be like my parents. I had a list of what I would not do. I wouldn't be an alcoholic. My dad died drinking, driving when I was 16. I wouldn't be on drugs. I would never live in the projects. I would never be with a man that my mom had chose or any other boyfriends we ended up living with. After all, I was told how much stronger I was than her. I wouldn't move so much and I wouldn't let people babysit my kids in those awful houses or have any parties. The list of judgment went on and on. I grew up focused on being better than the people that I didn't even know very well. People saw me as a leader because I was a boss at every job since I was 18, but I was fueled by pride. I would accept help from no one because I had to walk the walk. I had to have a decent car and a nice place to live, and I definitely had to have nice clothes and I had to have nice hair. What they didn't see was the bitterness that my pride and judgment of everyone, my constant need for control. Most didn't know my past. They didn't know that I was already a mom, and that I was putting my job before my child, and I was idolizing my independence, my ability to provide for him. God allowed so many trials to humble me over and over until I was done feeling sorry for myself. I was done looking down at the people who raised me and focusing on all the bad and not seeing any of the good. I'd become the very things that I was running from. But worse, because I compared and I thought that I was better than them. I was a mom by 19 with an abusive father. I was emotionally driven wreck. 11 years later, I became a mom again, ending basically the same way. I was a broken soul searching to fill voids just like my parents had been doing the whole time. I went to several churches in my 20s, searching as a young mom, and the Lord slowly revealing my sin to me, growing and moving on, and then going to no church. The turning point was joining a single mom's ministry where the purging began, admitting for the first time how terrible I was, how I felt, and my overwhelming guilt. I saw God's love in those women, and I didn't feel alone anymore. And I didn't feel that I had to be ashamed. I no longer asked why and no longer said that it wasn't fair. 5 years I went to that church with little guidance, and most people from that group were gone. I was kind of the token single mom. I would do the Welcome Center, I'd do videos. Nobody offered reproof. There's no church discipline, that was unheard of. I thought faith and belief was all I had to have. I even dated a lot. A professed atheist for years. I loved his family, but my liberal views and my borderline feminist beliefs were written off as, that's just Devin, she's a single mom. But God was still shifting my heart. I started making strides towards obedience. I was losing friends because of it, but I stopped dating and then I met my husband, which with a whirlwind of knowledge and audio sermons and theology came. I started asking questions at church that they didn't want to answer, which led us to leave. But we were then married, and a few months later, we came to Sovereign Grace. God had used all these things to bring me to my knees in repentance, but also joy. I'm a sinner saved by grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. For Christ also died for my sins. Once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. God had chosen me to live a life glorifying to him. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as son through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:4 through 6. I've been redeemed as a mother, and I've been redeemed as a wife. He revealed his word, and I saw his hand on my whole life, all the way from 5 years old, all the way up until now. I saw how I needed to be humbled over and over again, but how he also preserved my little child mind from the horrid things I saw and endured. How abuse never really affected me like I've seen it affect others today. Forgiveness of my parents, when my mom was the only one there able to talk me out of my suicidal thoughts when single motherhood had taken its toll on me. Forgiving my mom's boyfriend when he became sober and wanted to meet my 3-year-old son and start a relationship with us. Never even knowing that my second son, Nathaniel, would love him and call him grandpa one day. God is so good. Loving my sister who hated me for so long. The Lord sparing me for so many grave decisions that I put myself in knowing better. He allowed me to accept his grace. Every trial bringing me joy in the result and praising him for it now and in the future. And now God gave me all of you as the body of Christ to share my struggles and my joys. And I've been gifted and blessed beyond measure, which I did not earn. And I thirst for more knowledge and fellowship with his people. And I hope for salvation of my family and strangers alike.
For the Lord's grace in your life, Devin, and excited for what he will continue to do. Based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Concludes our service, but let me take a moment to pray not only for Devin, for Kevin and Eliana, but also for our new members here at Sovereign Grace. Lord God Almighty, we come before you and we thank you and praise you for your infinite wisdom in giving the body of Christ. Lord, you have not left us alone. You've not left us without these beautiful pictures that point to these amazing realities of what you have done for us in the gospel. You have not left us to fend for ourselves, Lord. Each of these persons with their stories, you have, in your amazing grace, by your Spirit, been working all along and doing what was needful to bring each of these to saving knowledge of Jesus. And Lord, we just give you the praise. Lord, indeed, as Jonah learned in that large fish, salvation is of the Lord. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the accolades. Because this is your doing, and we are pleased with it. And we pray for not only those being baptized, but also all the new members. I pray that you would help them to integrate within to this local body of believers, to find friendships, to find support, to find mutual encouragement. I pray that you would enable them to use their gifts and serving one another so that all in all you might receive the glory. And Lord, we just say all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to take about a 15-minute recess and give some time for to set up the food in the next room. And encourage you to stick around for our food fellowship.
Yeah.